This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also simulcasting on eSETI Stargate on the YouTube channel. You can actually come join us there in the chat and talk to the guests and other awesome guests from the past that keep popping in now and then. A lot going on right now. I don't even know where to go with this. I know I've been watching the news feeds lately, and it seems like the face of global warming is Antifa. You know, one guy, they caught one guy. He lit 28 fires. Another guy, they arrested him. They let him out, and he lit 8 more fires after they let him out. And so it's a revolving door, you know, with the Democrats, it seems like, the attorney generals and the mayors and everything else. So it's only one place to look if you want to find out what the real cause behind the fires is, and it's not global warming or climate change. But anyway, there's a lot more I wanted to cover. We're going to skip all that and get to our guest. I've got Lala Deaton, and she was influenced by her parents' love of the crooners and the lush harmonies of Andrew and McGuire sisters, as well as her own addiction to rock and roll of the 70s and 90s, a late blooming love for the story song prose of country music. No wonder songs have elements of all three genres. Lala's love for music became apparent to her mother when she noticed her toddler had an ear for melodies and harmonies. That love for music parlayed into Lala's participation in symphonic orchestral jazz, marching bands, choirs, ensembles, show choirs, musicals, theater, and it ultimately took her to Nashville at the age of 18 to attend prestigious music school at Belmont University, where she acquired a degree in music business. After graduating, she took a job and had a successful career in journalism, but couldn't avoid the calling back to her first love, music. So that out of the way, Lala, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me, James.
Yeah, I'm so wiped out right now. We have a whole crew. We're just trying to get all of our projects done and before winter, you know, and boy, we've got too many projects right now, but they're finally getting...
Yeah, you've got a lot going on, huh?
Yeah, I need some roofers to show up here, some angel roofers. But other than that, welcome to the show. I know you've got your hit song, Where We Go One, We Go All, and as well as I don't know how many other songs. I'm curious as to what got you interested, what motivates you to bring that music forward and to talk more about what's really happening on the world.
Yeah, well... Gosh, where should I start? I've been following the disclosure movement for a while now, probably about 3 years ago. If I go back, I was introduced to the show Cosmic Disclosure. Uh-huh. And that kind of took me down a different path than I had ever been down before. Even musically. So I started songwriting about 17 years ago and have been writing mostly country, pop, rock, and big band jazz here in Nashville. And when I started getting into the whole truther community and all of this, the disclosure stuff, and I started watching Cosmic Disclosure, it kind of flipped my world upside down. I had never been a kid that was really into, conspiracy theories. I wasn't even a young adult that was into conspiracy theories too much. I didn't really follow the whole UFO community when I was young. However, I had some strange happenings when I was a kid. I used to have moments when I remember when I was like 5 or 6 years old, where I would just feel like I was not quite in my body. And I would have this strange sensation of being in slow motion and fast motion at the same time is the only way I can describe it. It was a very weird feeling. That didn't last, well, I would say that probably lasted into middle school for me. And then when I was in middle school, this was probably my only, I've never had any kind of like close encounters or UFO encounters or anything like that. But when I was in middle school, I had a really, really strange dream that I woke up from. I was probably in sixth grade, and I remember waking up and I had a memory of the dream was about being on some kind of spaceship. And in the dream, I was very knowledgeable and very much aware of the workings of this spaceship. The dream was so technical. I remember waking up and thinking, how the heck did my brain come up with that? I couldn't even comprehend what all was in the dream. And I never really thought anything of it again for a very long time. Literally until I started watching Cosmic Disclosure. And when I started watching that, my mind was just blown wide open, and it snowballed into me starting to look into a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. And I started following alternative news channels and people like you and Edge of Wonder. And then I got into the Kate Awakening and, you know, Red Pill 78 and all of these different channels that I've been following now for a couple of years. Journey to Truth podcast. Yes, absolutely. And Alara, 1 Foot in 5D. Yeah. And so it just kind of, it opened so many doors to so many things to me in my mind. And also it really catapulted me. I had been on this spiritual journey for the last 15 years. I grew up very conservative Christian, Southern Baptist. And I started listening to and following people like Dr. Wayne Dyer. Yeah. And Esther and Jerry Hicks and a lot of the Hay House authors. I was reading their books, and Dr. Bruce Lipton and Dr. Joe Dispenza, and all of these great, great teachers and healers in the community. And so my spiritual journey kind of took a turn at that point. And so when that happened, to get back to your original question, I was writing songs about, and I still do write songs about just life in general and, you know, relationships, especially in country music, we write about our past relationships. Mm-hmm. And so as I was shifting as my consciousness was shifting, I started to be drawn more to, writing songs about universal love themes. And I'm actually to the point now where I have enough songs in that vein where I want to make an entire album just about universal love. And so Where We Go When We Go All came about because I, of course, in following all of these alternative media and civilian reporters, I found out about Q. And that was, I didn't start following along with Q until 2018. So it wasn't at the very beginning. It was somewhere along in 2018. And so, of course, as you know, Where We Go When We Go All is yeah. one of the catchphrases for Q. And I decided to write that song because for me, I had to figure out a way that I could give back to, that I could give in general to this community. Mm-hmm. And music is my thing. That's my creative outlet. So if I'm going to give and be a part in some way, it's natural for me to do that through music.
So I like that. I like that. slogan, where we go one, we go all. It transcends all culture and religious programming, color, everything, you know, and that's where we need to get back to. And what really destroys the plan of the dark arts is unity. You know, all of us coming together and, you know, waking up and rising above. You know, I was thinking about country music. I love that. I love that joke, is what happens when you play a country music backwards, song backwards.
You get your wife back, you get your dog back, yeah.
Yeah, you'd get your truck back and it didn't actually get by a train. But yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yes. I still write country. I released a country EP in 2016. But I'm kind of all over the map as far as what I write and record. And I'm actually getting ready to release a big band Christmas album this coming Christmas. That's all original music, but it's throwback to the 1940s. Yeah. So it's got that nostalgic feel, like the Frank Sinatra era.
I remember driving to Utah once, and I had this country guy driving this truck, and he played the same Tom Hanks song. But I think he had three songs, and he played them over and over all the way to Utah. I said, not again. And I think I've got this memorized forward and backwards. And it was pretty crazy.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Unless it's a really good song that you love that you want to hear over and over again.
It was a good song the first two times, you know. But
right.
I was going, can we play anything else? You got anything else in there? But he didn't. And then luckily we hit a cow, and that broke his, that broke the tape deck he was using. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Cows everywhere out there.
Yeah.
Free range cows.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. But, you know, I was kind of, you know, I won't go there. I'll leave that one alone. I know there's so much going on right now. I was watching, you know, I wanted to get back to some of the nonsense going on, this whole, you know, climate change thing. They're starting to push this again and trying to blame all the fires. And, you know, you look at the maps and the map is just dotted with fires everywhere. But all of a sudden, Mexico and California, there's no fires. You know, Canada, you know, and so I guess fires need a passport before they can cross the border or something. I don't know what that's about.
I guess so. I guess fires have a conscience, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And
they like to pick and choose where they're going. No.
Yeah, they don't give passports to fires, but one of them blew me away. One guy they caught lit 28 fires. Another guy lit a couple. They caught him, and then he let him out, and he lit eight more. And I've been watching this, and they have a big list of all the different people that started fires. It's a pretty big list. And they're part of that movement, Antifa or whatever movement. And, you know, you look at that, and you just go, wow, there's your climate change right there. You know, it's like the fires are not due to climate change. You know, if you'd really do the research on climate change, the planet is actually cooling down, you know, according to the research. We're heading down into we're going to have a really problem with going into a mini ice age versus going into global warming or anything of that nature. We need to gear up for something totally different. And
right. I don't understand why it's so confusing as far as the climate change thing goes, because I know now that I've seen where they've dug up the ice cores, and they can see by the rings on the ice cores that it's a cyclical thing.
Yeah.
You know, climate change is definitively cyclical.
And so, it's happening on other planets too. You know, they're not driving SUVs on Mars or any of the other planets. So it's happening, you know, throughout the whole universe. And so it's not just one thing. And they're not even looking at the sun cycles or, you know, any other cosmic cycles or all the gamma ray bursts and the electromagnetic light spectrum that's off the scale right now. You know, they got to blame it all on carbon emitting things. And everybody goes, well, the science says, no, it doesn't. You know, the political side, politicized science says one thing, but the real science doesn't, you know, it doesn't back it up. And, you know, I'm an environmentalist. I think forest lives matter, you know, all the little creatures in the forest and the bears and the, you know, we have a bear hanging out by our house right now, cruising around, you know, and I, you know, it's great. You know, I don't have any problem with that, you know, but, you know, I just think people need to chill out, you know, and really look at the facts and turn off your TV, especially CNN, MSNBC.
I agree. And I think there's more hype going on than people actually believing it. I think more of it is perpetuated by the media. And I don't think that there are as many people out there believing all of the BS that they're putting out at this point. It's gotten to be so far-fetched and it's gotten to be so out there and just blatantly evil in some cases.
Yeah.
To the point where, you know, I have friends personally that that have been lifelong liberals that are now, you know, have come to me and said, I just can't get behind that anymore. So I have to vote for Trump because the alternative is so crazy and just unethical, you know, and I just can't get behind it. So I think a lot of people are waking up, and I know for a fact that there are a lot of people that are seeing the light, that are afraid to say anything, so they're staying silent. But I've talked to some of them. So I'm not too worried about, as far as, like, you know, the elections come November. I do think that it's going to be a landslide. I'm more concerned about what's going to happen after that, to be honest. So we'll
see. I agree. I know what they said, something like 62% of the people in the polls didn't want to comment, you know, and the people that don't want to comment are usually the people that are Trump supporters, most likely. So because all the violence is really coming from the left, you know, and from the other guys. So they don't want to say anything because they don't want to have a conflict or, you know, things like that.
Right.
So you look at that and then.
Well, I noticed.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I noticed a shift in the friends of mine that, so, you know, when all of this was first starting, especially with all the, you know, the COVID stuff, I posted a few things on my Facebook page, and I got a whole lot of pushback from a lot of my liberal friends. And so I posted a few things here and there, but then I kind of laid off, just because I do use my social media for my music, and I didn't want to, you know, get too much into that because my fan base is all over the map. You know, I'm not just, you know, writing songs and singing and performing for conservatives. It has nothing to do with that. But I've noticed a shift. I've noticed that the liberals had been very, very vocal towards the beginning of this, and some of them still are, but the conservatives were really, really quiet and felt very silenced. All these different little cell groups started popping up that you know, I'm in like 7 or 8 different text threads, where, you know, that we formed during this whole thing just to be able to come together in like mind and not go out of our minds and be able to talk about things. And and we all felt very, very much like very silenced, like we couldn't say anything without a lot of pushback or lashback publicly. But I think that is shifting a little bit. I feel like we are the silent majority, and I feel like we are starting to feel more comfortable now that things are coming more from dark to light and a lot of things are being exposed and coming out. more of us feel comfortable talking about these things. And, you know, there's the media is still trying to make us out like we're crazy that we're talking about child sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Even though it's being exposed all over the place, you know, it's
massive arrests lately globally, you know, and children being rescued, you know, and we're not even hearing about a lot of it. That's just the stuff that hits the news. But, you know, we've vindicated on that one. You know, what they're doing now, their latest program now is spiritual shaming. You know, they're going to say, if you talk about this, you talk about politics, you talk about Q, you talk about any of these things that you're not enlightened, you know, you're not, you know, you're not a spiritual teacher or whatever, you know, that's the new thing that they're doing right now. And, you know, and I countered that and I told him, I said, well, you know, enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it, not just half the picture. So if you want to teach a half truth and just focus on love and joy and bliss and eat goji berries and turn yourself into a pretzel, you know, while the whole world comes down around you, you know, you might want to think twice about that because, you know, we can't live in denial. That's not spiritual. You know, we can't shift into spiritual ego and narcissism and not even own our own dark side, our own shadow side. So, and then most people have been socially engineered for so long. A lot of people are finally breaking that spell and stepping out and going, wait a second, you know, like this isn't at all what I signed up for. This is getting so dark and so ugly and such a mess that, you know, I didn't sign up for this. And they're breaking out of the program as well. And I feel really good about it. I think that just recently, and I know there's going to be a massive download of information coming out about just how corrupt and how dark things have been and what they've been up to. That's coming out right now, especially with on the Democrat side. And I tell people I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. You know, I'm here to do what's highest and best good for the planet, basically. And one group wants to take us into socialism and they support all the riots and the cultural wars and the divisions, you know, between races and genders and everything else. And the other one's doing what's best for the planet and trying to get us back on our feet and make us strong again and bring everybody back together, despite all the other rumors to the contrary, basically.
Right. And I think that, you know, I think it's interesting how the basically, you know, there's several movements that are kind of coming together as far as, you know, people seeking out the truth. And it does go hand in hand with spirituality, I believe. So I think a lot of people are, you know, seeking it out in many different ways. And that's why you're seeing a lot of the light workers, you know, playing a big role in this whole community, which I think is beautiful. I love that. And the division is getting to be so polarized that I'm almost, in a way, I'm kind of glad that it's so polarized, because I think what it's doing is it's allowing some of the people to, you know, it's going so far left and so far to the, you know, the unethical that people are saying, I can't be behind this. So I think it is causing a lot of people to come from dark to light.
Yeah. I mean, they're basically,
and just look at
Marxism, like, you know, it's undeniable. They blatantly are saying we're Marxists, we're promoting Marxism or socialism, which is really a form of communism. And they're actually saying, we want a communistic country. They're saying it out loud, you know, and people are going, well, how'd that work before? How's that work in the other countries? You know, and here's the best one I saw. The best one I saw was the women's movement out there promoting Sharia law, and the lesbian and gay community really promoting the Sharia law. Well, according to Sharia law, they should be executed, basically. And that's how uneducated this is. That's how insane this is. Why would you promote a system that really ensures your demise, you know?
Well, why? And they're putting it, that's what, the positive of that is that they're putting it right in our faces.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got, I have a lot of gay and lesbian friends, and I guarantee you that most of them don't realize that.
Yeah, they don't even know. They don't even realize what Sharia law is and what that means to them.
Right, right. And how detrimental that would be.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big obstacle that that we need to overcome on the conservative side of things.
Yeah.
And I actually consider myself, I've considered myself a libertarian for a long time. I think everything's gotten so polarized now.
Yeah.
That there's really kind of no middle ground anymore. But I've always been kind of socially liberal on things. But yeah, I think that that's something that we really need a larger voice for in the libertarian / conservative community is the gay and lesbian voice. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to be really active in the human rights campaign, and yeah. And I haven't done that. I haven't been a part of that in a while, but I would love to. I know we have like the Log Cabin Conservatives and some other groups that are advocates for gay and lesbian rights, mm-hmm. on the conservative side. But I would love to see that come more to light and be able to be a part of something like that, get involved in something like that more on a regular basis. I don't think they have a big enough voice.
I feel like libertarians got hijacked big time. I mean, they stood for liberty and equal rights for everybody, and the Constitution and things like that. You know, they're basically colorblind and you know, gender blind, you might say. I mean, it was just like teach his own party. But it got hijacked, and now it's, you know, basically if, you know, the extreme left now hijacked it, and now it's turned into socialism and Marxism and just insanity, like pure insanity. But, you know, I think it needs to make a hard right turn and come back, you know, come back to center again, you know, somehow. Or left turn, whatever you want to call it. Or I think left turn wouldn't be good because that's the problem. They took a left turn.
I just wish we could get rid of politics altogether.
Yeah, I've always said my thing is I always said I want to see a council of grandmothers hooked up to a federation, a council, you know, like
yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
A galactic council with a council of grandmothers. You know, that would solve 99.9% of our problems right there.
Right. I agree.
Take the money out of politics, you know, and, you know, I think too, you know, we don't, you know, an advanced civilization chooses their leadership according to their spiritual adeptness, you know, their, how evolved they are spiritually and their track record as far as service to the civilization. And mm-hmm. we do the exact opposite. You know, it's about how much money you have, how connected you are, how much. And that just opens the door for corruption, you know, and graft and right. all the other things going on. And
you think that'll all change eventually? How do you feel about this whole possible financial reset and the, like the Jassara Nassara?
It's going to be interesting. I think I'm really hoping that it transforms versus totally collapses. It's the way things are right now. They're completely out of alignment with universal law, and there's so much division and separation and everything going on, and the corruption is so deep that it has to change. It's going to have to go in a different direction because it's not frequency specific to the evolution of Earth and the higher consciousness and energy that's coming in. So it has to change what that's going to look like. you know, a lot of psychics saying that he, you know, this is our last president, you know, basically, which is going to be interesting. But I don't know what the format is going to be after that. That's the big, you know, you can't go into total anarchy and things like that, because, you know, I tell people, they go, well, I want everything to collapse and everything else. And I said, yeah, you know, the same thing, you know, they riot in these cities and they destroy the supermarkets. They destroy the gas stations, everything, you know, and you just go, well, where are you going to get your gas? Where are you going to get your food? You know, they wake up in the morning, they want to go to breakfast, but that place got burned down. You know, it's just like, what the heck, you know, and it's usually
craziness.
And it's to their own people in their own neighborhoods where this is going on, which is insanity. And to me, whoever's orchestrating this definitely does not follow the concept that Black Lives Matter. Because if they did, they wouldn't be doing this to their own people. And they would be looking for solutions. And there's a lot more to the problem than just police. You know, it's a very serious problem as far as shootings and everything else that goes further. I know Candace Owen covers this in a really, you know, in depth, but I'd listen to any of her.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. I would vote for Candace Owens, you know, and
I would too. I saw someone posted something about a Candace Owens and Ivanka Trump ticket.
That would be good.
That would be amazing, right?
That would be a good one.
Did you see the Trump meme? Speaking of the last president, did you see the Trump? It was a video that his team put out where he was standing at a podium and there was music playing, and they just kept, you know, putting up this text that said like, Trump 2020, Trump 2024, Trump 2028, Trump, you know, 2032. Like, it just kept, and the video just had him standing there at the podium with this smirk on his face. And it just kept getting faster and faster and faster with all the different dates coming up.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny.
That is pretty funny. I'm sure that's just a trigger, you know.
I'm sure that pissed a lot of people off, but
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's some upcoming people, I think, that, you know, I would never want to get into a debate with, you know, Candace Owens or some of these other people. They'd probably shred me alive. But I guess as long as I'm sticking to the universal truth and the positive and facts, you know, we'd probably do great. But
she's sharp.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. And there's a few others there, you know, that are really coming up that are just blowing my mind. I think Kaylee McCanny should run, you know.
Oh, Kaylee's awesome.
You know what? I looked at her and I go, oh, daughter of Kal-El, you know, Superman, you know, and then somebody made a meme like that. You know, when she showed up, I go, boy, that woman is a badass goddess. She's stepping into her power and she's got her notebook and she's just like letting her rip. And
she doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah. And I go, I don't know who sent her here or where she came from, but she's almost from somewhere else. But, I should look into that. I could find out where she came in from and what her role is. But I know she's definitely a planetary liberator. I'm not sure which system she came in from. But, you know, it's people like that. I just go, oh, my God, maybe her and Candace Owens together in a ticket would just, that would be a mind blower. Yeah. You know?
That would be. Yeah, let me know when you find out where she's from. I want to know.
You know, here's what I think about, you know, last time when Hillary was running, everybody goes, we want a woman for president. And I said, awesome. Is there one running? You know, <It's>, because that's definitely not a representation of divine feminine. You know, I don't know what that is, but I don't see any love and divine nurturing, anything coming from that, you know. But,
well, I have a feeling we'll probably find out eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Where she's from.
Yeah. I it's not even her anymore. I'm not even who's in there anymore.
Right. Yeah. True.
But yeah. I know I'm going to just be getting all kinds of texts and emails now, like, you've gone political. You're no longer talking about spirituality or UFOs. And I tell people, get over it. You know, your spirituality isn't going to matter if you stay in denial. You know, your little world is going to get upset and turned upside down here real soon. And you better get down to basics and take care of get out of the denial. Well, you know,
it's all tying in. It's all tying in together. I mean, it's hard to separate it at this point.
Well, yeah, if you want to go spiritual, this is a multidimensional event that's happening. The higher dimensions are pressing in. The extremely spiritually and technologically advanced civilizations are pressing in, adding they're returning our ancient ancestors. Mm-hmm. It's like the source itself, and all the legions of source are coming in right now. And we're seeing here is the physical manifestations of that is what's happening. And we have two choices, you know, we're either going to go the Sodom and Gomorrah route, you know, or we're going to rise up to the occasion and start living according to universal law. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about Sodom and Gomorrah. People don't know what really happened there. And when you went to Sodom and Gomorrah, you would probably get raped more than anything. You would get raped. You'd be stolen. The crime rate was off the scale. It became so decadent. You know, even when the Andromedans, which are mythological Noah's archangels, when they came and told Lot that, you know, bring me whatever, how many men, 10 good men, bring me one good man. They couldn't find anybody to save, you know. And when they showed up, these beings are beautiful beings, and they wanted to rape them. They said, send them out. We want to rape these guys, you know. And one came out and did a big blinding mm-hmm. flash of light and took care of business. But anyway, you know, people don't realize is that if we were to keep going in that direction, the whole planet, it would have gone into devolution. It would have gotten a total collapse. And so there had to surgically remove that from the planet so it could continue. It's like you get a cut on your leg, you know, and it's going to go septic if you don't take care of the bacteria and that colony that's starting to form there. Right. But that's kind of the big picture on what happened there. And I see like New York and California and where they're going and Seattle and things mm-hmm. like that. And you're going, wow, are we going to have another Sodom and Gomorrah event? You know, are we going to have a huge natural disaster that's going to have to clean this place up? You know, is it going to be an earthquake? Is it going to be a tornado? You know, tornadoes? Is it going to be a hurricane? What's it going to be to get people back on track again? And that's what I see. If we don't change direction, you know, there's going to be an event that's going to happen that's going to reset those areas. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you understand the big picture, whenever the fields collapse in the area and the consciousness collapse in the area, it's an energetic deficit that nature has to come in and recharge and re-energize that area. And so it's going to do it one way or the other. It's going to come in and people don't see the bigger scheme of things.
Wow. You know, I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, it's kind of like the checks and balances of the universe.
Yeah. And it's not God punishing people. It's universal law. You know, you go so mm-hmm. dark, you go so deep and so dark and yeah, there's a reaction, you know, we right. live in cause and effect world, action, reaction. And that's what universal law is all about. You know, it's not a wrathful God doing this. It's the collective doing it, you know, choosing right. a path that has consequences.
Or Bill Gates controlling yeah. the weather.
yeah, that guy, yeah. Yeah, or the useful idiots that follow him, you know, and the rest of them out there and the whole group. I love this slip on, I can't remember when she was being interviewed, I think Dr. Birx or whatever, she goes, you know, she was talking about monitoring everybody and getting everybody on that system, you know, where they're going to, if you don't get the vaccine, you know, and
the
all
tracing.
That. The tracing, contact. Yeah. And she goes, yeah, well, we need to adopt Bill Gates tracing technology. Oh, I mean, I'm sorry, the government tracing, you know.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Totally slipped. And goes, oh, no, I mean the government tracking, you know, tracing and tracking system. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I mean, they're slipping, you know, they're giving their end game up, you know, right? And if people are listening, you know, those with ears to hear are going to hear it. You know, they're going
to. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for them to hide it anymore. I mean, some of the stuff just today, Q's been dropping like crazy. I haven't even kept up with what They've been dropping today. But I think some of it was about some more stuff coming out about Hunter Biden.
I heard something about he's tied in like a prostitution ring. And
yes, and I heard that on top of everything else.
Yeah, and the facts about Burisma are going to come out. And that was criminal there. And that involves his dad too. But all that stuff, I think they're going to drop so many truth bombs before the election. It's going to come one after another after another. That right. is going to force people to take a long, hard look at who they're trying to install.
And I agree. I think they're starting that. They're starting it now, I think.
Yeah, I think they've got some carpet bombs waiting, you know, that they're going to drop. And
going to get to the point where people can't deny. I was watching Pink Patriot Hour last night, and they had IET on there, and they were asking him how many or what does he think the percentage is now of people that are actually awake to all of this, and I think they were talking about Q, but he said he thinks it's around 80%, maybe even a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I got to look into that because I know the numbers were going up higher and higher. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's not 80%. And that's that silent majority that's going to come forward. And
right.
The only thing they can do right now is try to hijack the election. But I don't think they're going to allow that, just like they tried last election, but they didn't. You know, that was a shoe, and Hillary thought she was installed. And she got it on high that, oh yeah, you're it. We're going to put you in there. We have control of the voting boxes and everything else. And when it didn't happen, she was shocked, and she didn't realize the white hats went in there and reset everything and didn't allow it to happen. So,
well, I wonder how they will keep it from, you know, they're dealing with the potential of the fraud because of the mail-in voting.
Yeah.
And, which makes me wonder how they're going to keep that from happening, unless they, like, if they were to stop the mail, the let people mail in to a certain point, but then maybe stop it like a week before the election or something, like you can only mail into a certain date so that they're not going 7 days after the election counting the votes or what have you.
You know, I really don't know. I know last time they did a damn good job of straightening that out and actually blocking a lot of corruption. And this time around, I'm sure they have a plan. I'm sure they're going to be doing something else. But I think, you know, everybody really does need to get really clear that your vote does count and make sure it is counted properly. It's like, because there is going to be some serious problems. But you know, I haven't really looked into that. I'm not a detail person. I see more of the big picture, but, you know, I'm really hoping they have it covered, and they probably do. You know, these guys are brilliant, you know, that are.
Yeah. I have faith. I have faith that they know a lot more than we know. I even have faith that they have seen the outcome.
I'm really hoping all these people. So I'm really hoping all these people that say they're going to move if Trump wins actually do move. they probably will move to Gitmo, you know, and be wearing an orange suit. But I wish they would move. America would be a better place without this total Marxist program they're trying to push.
Yeah, usually people are just all talk and no action when it comes to things like that. But
What's the deal about the new legislation where they're making pedophilia legal? I know they're.
I've heard that, but that's crazy about the laws out in California where if there's only 10 years, if they're only 10 years younger, if you're like 24 year old and it's a 14 year old, it's left up to the judge whether or not you get labeled a pedophile. That's crazy.
That's just
a 14-year-old is not a consenting adult.
Yeah. I think they're trying to get it down to like 8 years old is what they're, and probably even younger, but that would be their next step. They're trying to normalize pedophilia. They're trying to make it legal because so many of them are been caught with their pants down, basically. And so they're trying to change the laws because a lot of them are going to be doing some major time. I've been saying they're just moving up the ladder right now. They're getting all of the lower guys. They're picking them up and shutting down the operations and everything. And then the lower guys are giving names and talking about their deliveries and everything else. And so it's just a matter of time.
It is. And the crazy things that they're trying to put into law, like that, you know, the only 10 years difference and they don't get labeled a pedophile. Those are the kinds of things that I'm like, you know what, bring it. Because if you start trying to create laws like that, more and more people are going to say, okay, something's not right here.
Yeah.
Even the people that, you know, the hardcore liberals, that's when, I mean, those people don't want to be known as someone who's supporting a party that is trying to create, you know, laws support pedophilia. It just doesn't make any sense. And more
everything, I mean, their true agendas are being exposed, you know. And when none of them will say I denounce, you know, the riots and the violence, and they actually say we should have more of it, you should expect more of it, and I support that, you know. That's pure insanity. You know, that's, we do have a right to peaceful demonstrations, emphasis on peaceful, but we don't have a right to be burning down other people's houses and being violent, you know, with everybody, including the police. You know, it's like, you know, I tell people, I'm sure the police need some reform. You know, there needs to be some reform there, but nowhere near what they're screaming about. And it's not as big a problem as the riots. It's, you know, it's nowhere near that. That's like total overkill. You know,
I saw the other day that Alyssa Milano, who's been really big, you know, tweeting about defund the police, that she had to call 911 the other day because she had, I mean, you know, God forbid that there was someone on her property that could have potentially harmed her. That's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, you know, poetic justice that she had a scare like that, where she had to call on the police that she's trying to, you know, get out there and have such a large voice against. To defund them.
Yeah, they should have answered the phone. And when she said her name, she said, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have the manpower right now to take this call.
Right.
And this is a recording, and call back, and we'll see what we can do. The wait time is approximately 3 days.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what are these people thinking? I live in downtown Nashville. I have a beautiful old Victorian home, like 1 mile from downtown, and I love living here, but it's, you know, I wouldn't want to live here without the police force.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Because anytime you live this close to the city, there's crime. Yeah. So, I've had to call the cops a couple times to come to my home, and I've been working.
I really think about this. Let's say, you know, if you're, you know, part of the police force there, the stuff you have to deal with day after day after day, and then people are spitting on you and calling your names and everything else. I couldn't, yeah, be honest with you, I couldn't handle it. I'd probably blow after a while. I'd probably do something pretty, I'd probably find some way to release that, all that pent up energy, which is why I would not be on the police force, because I don't know if I have the patience that a lot of them are exhibiting. You know, but, you know, it's a rough job, you know, and to do that every day and deal with that and the lack of appreciation, you know, I think people need to give the thumbs up every time they see these guys out there working, doing their job. They need to like give them the thumbs up, hey, you know, like, and give them the other side, you know, just say, hey, we support you, you know, we're really glad you're here. You know, if and you know, if that doesn't happen, you're going to have militias, and that's already happening right now. You're going to have our militias. They're going to say enough's enough, and that's already moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that they need all the support they can get right now. There's already, you know, I've heard of a lot of police officers that have left the field because they can't, you can't deal with it. And I don't blame them. It's just terrible what has been going on.
It is, you know, that you see people just blasting the cop cars. They're all standing there throwing everything they can, burning them and everything. You know, there's people in those cars, you know, they have families, they have children to go home to and things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, do you ever think about that? Do you even know that person that you're assaulting? You know anything about them, you know, and they don't. They're socially engineered to do that. And they don't mm-hmm. even realize where their orders are coming from. And that's a big wake up call when people find out who's funding all this and where their orders are actually coming from. And when they mm-hmm. find out they're expendable, and especially on the top people they're giving the orders, they're all expendable. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a big population control program, and they're being, you know, duped into participating in it.
And if you start looking into it, it's really amazing how right in your face it is. I mean, the girl, one of the two founders of I can't remember if it
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matters or Antifa. Was it Black Lives? I think it was BLM.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just, you know, blatantly come out. I've seen videos of her saying, you know, yes, we are trained as organized protesters. We are trained fascists. You know,
they said we're Marxists. You know, they said it. Yes. Yeah, we're Marxists. Mm-hmm. And we want Marxism or communism. They're chanting, we want communism, you know. If you want mm-hmm. cause of communism, go to a communistic country.
Yeah, go to China.
Yeah.
It's already structured there.
yeah, they should. Definitely go check out one of these other countries and protest.
Protest. I wonder if the people that are leaders of these communist movements here, if they've ever actually gone to any of those countries and lived in any of those countries and experienced what it's like to be under a communist regime.
Yeah, I'm sure they haven't. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately. It's been great having you on the show, and we definitely want to play your song, and we'll kick into that. What is the best way for people to get in contact with you and check out some of your work and your music and
Sure. Well, you can always go to my website, which is just my name. It's www.laladeaton.com. And all of my links to social media is there. But you can also find me at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lala Deaton Music. And I also have a YouTube channel where you can find videos that I'll be putting up. I'll be promoting my upcoming Christmas album. And of course, my Where We Go When We Go All video is there, which has gone viral on Facebook and Instagram at almost 2.5 million views now. So happy about that.
On that note, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. And we're going to close out with your Where We Go When We Go All song.
This storm on the rise is coming for our freedom. Disguised in the lies, the powers of the dark. Secrets so deep, played out like Hollywood movies. But it's time, hold the line, on your mark, get set. Shine.